Glory be to God.
Lillian did a great job, eh? Isn't it? Let's give her a big high clap, amen. Yeah, it was her first time. Okay. Yeah, it is always good to get people to try out what they think, what they believe they are called to do. That is the only way. Well, that is the best, one of the best ways someone can discover the gift which they have. Okay, so Lillian, thank you so much. Yeah, and I didn't think I would see you, not here, but most especially in LATA. Okay, I didn't think I would see you again, but it was good to see you. It was what? A surprise. Glory be to God. And since you had that dream, and it was in LATA, so probably God, yeah, still wants you in LATA. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, once again, welcome to the Bible study today. Yes, we are continuing studying the Bible using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. And we are using the 2010 edition, which he made available in a few years ago. And as we always say, the copyright information page is our page one. All right? It is our page one. Now, the topic for today, you're going to help me, after we have concluded today, you help me to get the title for it. All right? You're hearing, and all of you who are here, I know you, so it is you who are here who have heard that you're going to help me to choose a title at the end. So that means that the people who are coming after us won't know this, so I won't ask them. But I really failed to find what to call the teaching for today. Okay, but I have something I thought I would call it, but then later I was like, let me leave it. And yeah. Okay, but last week our topic was great families. Okay, how to have great families. Especially families which, like, marriage, okay? And we learned that, number one, the way to have a great families which are considered great in the eyes of God, not families considered great in the eyes of carnal humans, where because you have a lot of money, then it's a great family, yet you could have stolen it. Maybe you don't give to anybody. Yeah? You don't give like Lillian's dream. So you accumulate all that money and you do your own things. And people say, wow, that man is great. But when God is like, no, that was what? Money that was meant for honest. Yeah? But that person didn't give it to honest. They built a house. Do you understand? Those fake things which are fake in the eyes of God, but great in the eyes of what? Of kind of humans. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about great families in the eyes of God. So we said, number one, love your partner. If you are a husband, the Bible commands you in Ephesians chapter 5 to love your husband. If you are a wife, you are also commanded to love your husband. Loving is not only for husbands. You know, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, it tells older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. All right? So, number one, love your partner. Okay? Number two, guard your heart. Keep your heart pure. All right? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that out of the heart springs the issues of life. So out of your heart or out of our hearts will spring the issues that will either make or unmake our families. All right? So by all means, do the best you can do by the Spirit of God to guard your heart, to keep it pure. Number three, learn to forgive. Number four, be a giver. Don't be in a relationship just to gain or to get or from it. Be in a relationship when your number one aim is to give, is to be a blessing to the other person. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then be a worshiper. Because as we said, as we read, as we studied from the final quest, it says that worship purifies the soul. Okay? Worship purifies the soul. Okay? And that was linked to marriage in that book. Okay? The other thing that we're supposed to do is to pursue unity. Okay? The enemy always wants to divide relationships. Okay? So always be on guard and be able to stand against any work of the enemy meant to divide you. And lastly, marriage should bring forth children. Okay? And God would expect us to raise godly offspring. Glory be to God. If your offspring are godly, then that is a great family. Okay? If they are not godly, however great you are, that's not a great family. Glory be to God. Yes. Now, let's open the final quest, page 56. Page 56, paragraph 4. Remember, I haven't yet said what the topic is today. So, as we read, okay, today we're going to read a very short, we're not going to read much, okay? Yeah. So, you tell me what the topic should be. The passage that we're going to read, I almost skipped it to something else, okay? Just like I almost skipped that marriage bit, okay? Because I'm not a pro at those marriage or relationship topics, so I almost skipped it, but I knew the Lord was like, you skip this one, you have missed me, okay? So even this one, I almost skipped it, okay? But I knew, we touch it. Yeah, so, page 56, paragraph 4. At this point in time, Rick Joyner has met a contemporary of his, okay? But one who died before him, and he's in heaven, So he meets him, and this guy tells Rick Joyner, page 56, paragraph 4, he tells him, I became so proud near the end of my life that I could not imagine that the Lord would do anything of significance unless he did it through me. He became so what? So proud that he could not imagine that the Lord would do anything of significance unless he did it through him. Okay? Have you ever been there when you feel you're the only one God can use for something? Then he said, I began to touch the Lord's anointed and to do his prophets harm. I was selfishly proud when the Lord used one of my own disciples, and I became jealous when the Lord moved through anyone who was outside of my ministry. I would search for anything that was wrong with them in order to expose them. I did not know that every time I did this, I only demoted myself. So what did he do? He would search for anything that was wrong with who? Eh? Anyone else? Eh? Who was not? Anyone else who was outside his ministry. He would search for anything that was wrong with them in order to expose them. Okay? Doesn't that sound like your pastor? Yes or no? You don't have to answer that. But that sounds like me. Okay? Searching for anything wrong in order to expose them. Then Rick Joyner says, I never knew you had done anything like that. I said, surprised. I did not do it myself, but I incited men under me to investigate other ministers and do dirty work. Then there's a sentence which says there that we sowed fear and division throughout the church, all in the name of protecting the church. Doesn't that sound like your pastor? Huh? You don't have to answer that. Huh? But it sounds like your pastor, isn't it? Well, again, you don't have to answer. Now, let's open page 57, paragraph 8. Page 57, paragraph 8. There's somewhere where it says that if we are to do his work, if we are to do God's work, we must do everything in both grace and truth. Truth without grace is what the enemy brings when he comes as an angel of light. Okay? If we are to do God's work, we must do everything in both grace and truth. Okay? Not only truth, but also grace. Then it says, truth without grace is what the enemy brings when he comes as an angel of light. That phrase, he took it from 2 Corinthians. You can open there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, that bit about angels of light. It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 13 to 15. Paul here is talking about some people. And he says that those people, he says that, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Okay? Yet they are false apostles. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Okay? So, ministers of Satan, can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Huh? Have you seen it? By the way, I wasn't planning to go deeper into this verse. I just wanted to show you where Rick Joyner got that, that phrase. So, Satan's ministers, can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. That means that ministers of unrighteousness can actually preach righteousness. Have you seen it? But yet they are not ministers of righteousness. Have you seen it? So how would you know when a minister of unrighteousness or a minister of Satan, How will you know that he's one? Eh? Because he's not going to come, you know, he's going to come as a minister of righteousness. So how are you going to know, Olive? Eh? Anyway, there are many things that you can use to know. Eh? But ultimately, it is God to show you. You understand? Eh? But now this is very scary. Eh? This is very what? Can transform into what? A minister of righteousness. So you want to hear righteousness? The guy can come and tell you. He can tell you all the righteous things you want to hear. But when that is actually not his agenda, it is just, you know, it is just something. It's a bait. So now, that is essentially what we are going to read from the final quest today. That's why I was telling you today what we're going to read is very short. Huh? All right? So, maybe let's do this Bible study differently today. What have you learned from what we have read? I can read it for you real quick again. Page 56, paragraph 4. This minister who's in heaven tells Joanna that I became so proud near the end of my life that I could not imagine that the Lord would do anything of significance unless he did it through me. I began to touch the Lord's anointed and to do his prophets harm. Okay? Doesn't this sound like your pastor who, you know, who touches the Lord's anointed? Okay? Then he says, I was selfishly proud when the Lord used one of my own disciples, and I became jealous when the Lord moved through anyone who was outside my ministry. I would search for anything that was wrong with them in order to expose them. All right? Yeah, then somewhere down it says, I did not do it myself, but I incited men under me to investigate other ministers and do my dirty work. We sowed fear and division throughout the church, all in the name of protecting the truth. Then on page 57, we read that if we're to do his work, God's work, we must do everything in both grace and truth. Truth without grace is what the enemy brings when he comes as an angel of light. Glory be to God. So, what do you learn from that passage? What are the similarities between what we have learned and your pastor? The similarities between that man of God in heaven. Thank God he's in heaven. Eh? Okay? Yeah. And you understand? Just say what you've learned from there. Anything. Okay? Denise, anything? Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Alan? Okay. Great. Vanessa? All right. Lillian? Mm-hmm. Okay. Olive? You investigate people. I'm joking. Go on.
When he said he felt so proud that anything significant had to be done.
Yeah.
I relate it to my situation in the fact that I'm sure God has led me to be a voice for people living with albinism. And I've had many people say they can do without you and a leader, blah, blah, blah. And at some point it got somewhere. You know, God has led me to have certain papers academically compared to my peers. something is, but John Wendy had told me a few months back about it.
Great, awesome. Honest.
God can use anyone who wants to, and shouldn't be a problem.
Mm. So you're all just saying the Denise beat, because she's the one who started with humility. So you all think that humility is the right, it is here, but it may not be here. Yeah, Joanne, do you have anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Rachel?
What I've learned is from actually what we're reading, 2 Corinthians, that
so that has struck you, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the air. Yeah. Okay. Mark, anything?
Even using an effort to do your
business. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Yes. For some reason, I don't know why I've been so blessed by Rachel's Western land that day. The whole idea of that, you know, maybe that's why I spent some time on it. It was meant to catch what? Someone, yeah. An angel, what? So all that means that a minister of Satan, you know, most probably will not come telling you about with Satan, to worship with Satan. Because he will come as a minister of what? Light, a minister of righteousness. So he will tell you about Jesus, righteousness. You remember, Jesus said that in the last days, false prophets, what, they will come saying, I am he. Not that, let's say I'm a false prophet. Jesus wasn't saying that the false prophet will call himself Christ, saying, I am Christ. No, he said they will come saying that I, Jesus, I am he. So meaning they will preach Jesus. Exactly this. Ministers of what? Righteousness. But when they are not what? Okay. You remember that girl in Acts 16? Who followed Paul and Silas. And she had a spirit of divination. It's there in the Bible, Acts 16. And she was going, you know, following Paul and Silas and telling crowds that listen to these guys, listen to these people, they are servants of the Most High. You understand? She didn't call herself a servant. She knew that these guys are the what? Servants of the Most High. Then she said, listen to them because they are declaring unto you the way of what? Salvation. Exactly this. She was a minister of what? Righteousness. You know, Paul and Silas, listen to them. Alright? These things are scary, isn't it? She says, listen to them, they're telling you how to get born again. But Paul realized that, man, this is a devil. And the Bible says, little man, he cast it out. So can you imagine a devil being your PR? Telling people, you come and listen to this guy, you understand? A devil. But the end is not that. Somewhere along the way it will get you. This, you understand? Now these things are scary. That's why every time I think about them, I'm like, you know, I begin to think that, man, the earlier the Lord comes back, the better. For me, I don't understand, guys, why Jesus will take longer. I just don't understand them. And they pretend that they are winning souls. They know there are many people who are going to hell. We have to You bring them to the Lord. But they're not preaching. If you ask them the last time they told someone about Jesus. So either for me, I'm a coward, I don't know. But man, the whole idea of being in a church, when the pastor is a minister of Satan. And really the church is like that. I hope you know that. Lillian, do you know that? Lillian got saved like less than 2 years ago. You've been saved for less than 2 years. In case you don't know now, I'm telling you. Pastors all over the world, you know, preachers who are what? I don't know. It's Dennis who shared the story. Who was telling? Yeah. Dennis, I think, yeah. He shared it in church some time ago, was it Apostle Mulinde who went somewhere to preach? He was invited a church, but not in Uganda. And then, so when he was invited, you know, to come and preach, for some reason he felt uncomfortable about what? The pulpit, where he's going to preach from. So then he began to pray from down there, I guess, you know, to pray, what's happened. Then, man, as he was praying, God revealed to him that these guys had killed someone and put him under the what? The eve. So there was, man, something that had been put there. You've heard of that story, eh? There's someone who told us that story in church recently this year. I think it was with Dennis. So now, is that preacher, a preacher from heaven? Guys who kill people, sacrifices, and they put them there. And this is, I guess, why they do those things, right? Draw crowds, and then money, and then maybe put a spell on people so that they don't discover them. You understand? You guys, there's no one who remembers that story. It was in church recently, some time ago. But anyway, those things are there. You understand? I think it was either 2010 or 2011, I had a dream. Okay? In this dream, in fact, I shared, those days I was close to Elvis. I shared that dream with him. In this dream, there's a preacher in Uganda, a lady preacher. Okay? She had died. Okay? Now, the United States in Chihuahua, before you stop down to Nigeria. So in this dream, her casket was being brought from down from Nigeria, coming up to Chiwatule. All right. So as they came closer, I wanted to look in the casket and see the body. But somehow I knew who it was, though I hadn't seen her. Of course, I hadn't seen the what. But I knew the preacher who had died. All right? Did I ever tell you a dream like that? Anyway, these things, man, the earlier the Lord comes back, the better. So anyway, when they came closer, because I wanted to see the body, there were people, and I could tell, I think they were like fellow preachers who are like associated with her, who were guarding the casket, as in you couldn't come close to see the body in there. They wouldn't allow anybody, to see it. So I decided to climb a tree, like that thing of what? Zacchaeus. To climb the tree so that I can look, Man, I climbed the tree. Guys got chivoko for me, They got chivoko for, Man, was I even kind? And I don't remember, but they couldn't allow you to see the body. Okay? And the dream ended. Of course, when I woke up, I knew what it meant. God was just giving me info that that preacher, lady preacher, she died. And there are preachers who know it, but they don't want people to know. As in, of course, which is still alive. Eh? Now it is 8 years. Eh? You know, which is still alive. But so it wasn't talking about physical death. Eh? It was talking about spiritual death. The spiritual death Lillian was in 2 years ago. Eh? You know, when you're not born again, you're spiritually dead. Eh? You know, the Bible says, that's not a bad example for me. Listen, you know, eh? When I wasn't saved, the Bible says I was dead in my what? Sins and trespasses. Eh? You know, God told Adam, the day you eat from this tree, you will die. Adam ate it. Did he die? Did he die? Olive says no. Yes, he died. He died spiritually. First, and of course later, he died physically. So yes, he died that day. Okay? Separation from God. You go? Yeah? Dead in your sins and trespasses. Eh? So Adam died in sin. Okay? Now, anyone who's not born again, they're dead in sin, eh? And they're going to hell. Okay? So, God was telling me that that lady died. Once upon a time, she was alive. Eh? That means that there's a time when she actually got born again. You know? She became alive. Eh? Now, she had died. Okay? Died spiritually. You understand? Eh? Meaning that she's no longer born again. Okay? And if she's no longer, and some preachers knew, but they were guarding, they don't want that info to leak. Eh? To leak, eh? To the what? To Christians. Eh? Alright? So, but she's still preaching. Alright? She has a church. In fact, it's a huge church, man. Okay? You all know her. Now, you can see that woman is a what? A messenger of Satan. You know, she died. Okay? But she's still there preaching to this day. Okay? A few years ago, 2 years ago, three what? Years ago, she finished her building. Okay? A structure, church structure. Okay? And they're saying, and it's possible that it's a lie, eh? That it is the largest in East Africa. It's a lie, by the way. It's not the what? The largest, eh? But it's possible that it is larger than Miracle Center. I don't know, eh? But in a huge structure. So that structure is not empty on Sunday. There are people there. Okay, there are people there. There's a lady who joined LAT some time ago, like 2 years ago. Okay? She's actually a sister to someone in LAT, but it is not her sister who brought her. It is another lady who was in LAT at that time who brought her. Okay? So she came to LAT, and man, the first day she came, eh? But she knew me from Zoe. So she knew me even while I was in Zoe in leadership. She used to come and consult me about things. Eh? I pray for her. Anyway, but later, anyway, she comes and joins LAT, and she told her friends that when she came, it's like, man, she hasn't experienced, you know, such a presence in a long time. She was coming from that woman's church. Okay? And so she left and she came, man, and she was like, wow. Eh? You know, she felt, man, she hadn't experienced, you know. Then I was told that, so she was in LAT like for a month. So I was told that one day, she's a lawyer, eh? One day, this lady preacher went to her office. And she sat there, basically telling her to go back to her church. You know, she sat there for hours. Eh? You know, now, the lady who gave in and she went back. Now, she's there. And her sister came and told me that, man, I told her what, but anyway, it's up to her. Hey, okay? But somehow I couldn't get involved in that. Maybe I should have advised that. Based on the info I knew from 2010 about that preacher. Okay? Years ago, there was talk that that preacher had snakes. You know, witch used whatever into our home, our house. You've heard of those stories, Yes, you know them. I'm telling you. Now, for me, I never had, I didn't know whether it was true or not. But one time, I was with Elvis, and Elvis told me that those snake stories were true. That she, that lady preacher, the last time I knew, she was staying in Umunyonyo. Okay? So Elvis says that there was a time when he used to stay in Umunyonyo, alright? And now, that time he was single, but Harriet, the wife now, was his what? Fiance, whatever you call it, girlfriend. And so on this particular day, she come, now she goes to visit him, and she had to take the path, anyway, the path she takes to Elvis's house, that there was also a house of that one, the priest. So she has to walk by her gate. So she sees as she's walking, man, the villagers there were crowded. They are all seeing a snake entering the gate. That woman's what? The villagers were, oh, that is a snake, you know. And Harriet saw it. And she went and told every man, I've just seen it live. Okay? That lady who died, what? Long time ago. And some preachers know, but they are, it's secret, man. They can't what? Disclose the info. But she's preaching Jesus. She's telling people about Jesus. She even prays for people in the name of Jesus. Namtebi, you know that? Yes. Have you ever had any preacher in Uganda or that what? Woman, You know, preaching in the name of the devil. They don't do that. Then conferences, now I tell you, New Year's over what, those things over where, saying Jesus. You understand, So, don't you want Jesus to come back quickly? And it's okay if right now you put a question mark on me and start saying, now, this guy who's telling us his thing, could he be, you understand? But it's okay. Then you go to God and to now, since he told us that someone can be a means of Satan, then he transforms into, and you understand? So that means it's okay for you to go and ask God. And when I get to know, about it, that you're asking God about me, if I'm secure in God, and I'm a minister of God, I won't get offended that this person is putting question marks on me. You understand? Especially when I know that you are inquiring from God. It's another thing if you're inquiring from guys who don't like me. You understand? What do you expect of a guy who like me? Say, okay, I'm not sure about him. Yeah, but he might be. Now you're asking a guy who doesn't like me. You understand? But if I knew you're asking God, man, I'll say, this girl is serious, actually. She takes major things to God. You understand? So you think that man are very what? Serious. All right? Scary. Have you ever heard her preaching? You understand? But then the stories that come out of their man, people who have dreamt or what thing, many years ago, again, these things, I think God just looks at us and say, yeah, you don't know, but you're innocent, and I see your heart is right. Many years ago, before that dream, I was with my mother, my mom, and she tells me that because she goes to an Anglican church, eh? My mom. So she tells me that they had a guest preacher at their church, some young guy. Eh? That the young guy told them that one time she was in what? In that lady's church. Okay? And the lady told them to close their eyes, all of you. As she was going to pray, she told them, close your eyes, all of you, I'm going to pray. Okay? Then that this guy, for him, he somehow suspected, you know, this is your suspicion. So that he didn't close his eyes. Alright? So when he said, why were there no man? Then she saw a snake over on a certain wall. So this guy was telling the story in the Anglican church, that man, that woman, for me, I really saw it, I was there. So my mom told me that story. I was annoyed. I was like, that woman loves Jesus. Why, you know, maybe your churches are being emptied. People are going out to her for what? A prosperity, miracles. So now I told my mom, Tombuya. You know, then 2010 or 2011. I get the dream. Then I meet Elvis. I say, yeah, I saw my, my girlfriend at that time. She saw it. Then I remembered my mom, what she had told me like 3 years or 2 years earlier. And I say, actually, she was right. You understand? You saw these things, okay? You take them to the Lord. Don't ask people who don't like that person. You understand? Because what do you expect of someone they like somebody? You understand? They will, even, okay, if they are Christians and they're a bit good, they will say, maybe it's not, but it could be. Eh? You understand? They will add in something because they don't like the person. Okay? So, you understand? The best person for is go to God and ask him. Okay? Yeah, for you've just come, but we read somewhere about a preacher, Rick Joyner, met in heaven. It is on page 56, paragraph 4. And the preacher was saying that he became so proud. Basically, he was envious and jealous, you know, when God would use anyone or if something was significant was done through someone else instead of him or instead of his what? Disciples, eh? Okay, and then he says he went, or he would go all over the place, or use his what, disciples, to investigate, those preachers, to get all the dirty stuff about them, so that he can use it against them. So he says he caused division in the church, okay, all in the name of truth. So I was asking these people whether that doesn't sound like Pastor Moses. All right? But also, we read page 57, where the guy was telling Joyner that if we are to do God's work, we must do everything in both grace and truth. Truth without grace is what the enemy brings when he comes as an angel of light. Okay? And we read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, which says that Satan's ministers can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So someone is serving the devil, but they're telling you about righteousness. You know, eh? So I was telling them of a preacher in Uganda I know. Years ago, I dreamt when she had died spiritually, which confirmed what my mom had been telling me. You know, man, some guy, so it's, you understand, eh? And, so there you are. Vanessa, what do you have to say about those things? Jesus should come back. The knees. Do you realize that all these things, man, are not what? Are not as black and white as what? A. But sometimes they can be black and white if you want to. If you want to really see. They can be black and white. If you just follow your heart, if you just follow scripture, if you see the fruit, you understand? If you see what is being preached, if you follow what it is supposed to lead to, there's some of these things, you look at them, and you're like, yes, they're preaching Jesus, but the whole thing is to glorify a human. You understand? When you look at the, you follow, you investigate, where, you understand? You're like now, because it is all, some even when they, Jesus in the middle, but again, it's what? It stops on a human. You're like, now this one. You know, it always stops on a human. It doesn't stop at Jesus. Jesus is just used. He's a way, isn't it? Jesus is a way. He's a way to the human. And where the, that's where the full stop. Such things, he need what? Some investigation. What? But don't ask people who don't like me whether I am what? A messenger of Satan. Don't. That's why don't ask people who don't like me. Definitely, if someone didn't like you, if I don't like you, and someone comes and asks me about you, if I'm a bit, I've just been praying, I wouldn't outrightly mudsling you. I've just been praying, this present, But even there, I'll put in something to doubt, you understand? You understand? So don't ask people who don't like me. Ask God or someone who likes me. But even those who like me can be biased. Okay? So, what should the topic of the Bible study be? If you read the email, we didn't give it a title because I didn't know how to call it. Now that you've heard, what should be called? Olive, quickly. Quickly, I say quickly, okay? Okay, Vanessa? Lilian? What should it be called? False apostles? Angels of what? Darkness? Mark? True ministers of light. Okay, but the passage you read also talks about, well, that girl was a minister of light, yes. Okay, 2 minutes. I was like, okay, good. Alan? Denise? Okay. Okay. Joanne? Honest? What about if there's something I came up with, which may be whistleblowing in church? How is that? Whistleblowing. Joanne, I'm asking you. How is that? No, It will cause a lot of people get some teaching this in Twitter. Whistleblowing. But it is something like that, though we can call it anything else. So you see, this guy, this preacher was like a whistleblower. Going to investigate other what? Ministers. Find wrong stuff, then it messes you up. Isn't that whistleblowing? Anyway, at the end, we shall agree on what to call it. But then, again, so if it is whistleblowing, the last, what we read on page 57, Grace and Truth, it was saying it could mean if you are, because whistleblowing is not necessarily evil, and God would want you to do it in the right way. Grace and truth. So you discover truth, you understand, do it in the right way, whistleblow in the what? Okay? So now, in churches, Christian ministries, there are always problems which need to be addressed. Alright? So, number one, what are the source of the problems? Eh? Number one, the problems can be leadership, where the leader, you know, is a cause, or he is the embodiment of a problem, all right? Or it can be members. You understand? Eh? But now, for the purposes of this Bible study, we're going to dwell on the leadership. All right? Now, concerning leadership, the problem can be serious, what you call foundational. Now, like if someone drifts away from the Lord, that is foundational. That is serious. If someone is sexually abusing people, that is serious. If someone is saying there's no heaven, that is foundational. That is serious. Someone saying Jesus didn't die, he was just a nice man. That is foundational. You know, But then the other things which are debatable or not foundational. Okay? Some are just not what? The foundational. Then others are debatable. You're like, okay, yeah, that could be right. Okay? Because the scriptures are not that what? You know, Okay? You understand? Now, there are things for me now, like some topics where I have my views, okay? Contrary to Joan and some other people, And I'm convinced with my own thing. You understand? So now, that is not really, they're not foundational, they are debatable, You know, And sometimes they're even blessing some other people who are in a problem like that. That opinion, edifies them to say, okay, we're not condemned, okay? You understand, So, you know, Now, but let's talk about this leadership where a leader has, there's something, a foundational problem. All right? So we are going down, Okay? Leader, the problem is foundational. Okay? Then, now, how to address it? How to do what? How to address it? Now, the foundational things, of course, the key one that we're going to use an example is the whole thing of salvation, Christ, salvation, you understand, salvation, because man, if you're off on the salvation beat, you're going to lead people to hell. You understand, salvation in Christ, all right, that is key. So we're going to use it as an example, especially since that is what most of the time the Bible is talking about, when it is talking against false teachers and what. Okay? Let's look at an example in second Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Paul says in Philippians 3, 17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and not those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross." Okay? Paul is saying what? I'm telling you weeping that these guys are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now that is foundational. Being an enemy of the cross of Christ, it means basically you're telling people that Jesus didn't die on the cross for them. You're an enemy. All right? Then Paul said that these guys, their end is destruction. God, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. All right? So Paul faced these things, and he had to address them. So how did Paul address a foundational thing? Okay? He told people about it. He did what? He didn't keep it to himself to let people be eternally lost or confused by what? These enemies of the cross. And here he says that, I'm even telling you weeping. Do you see it? So because this was a very serious issue, foundational, pause, like you don't shut up about this. You've seen it, eh? Okay, that's how it works. So Paul first the things, eh? All right? Acts chapter 20. Another example. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. From verse 28, Paul tells, I think these were Ephesians. He tells them that therefore take heed to yourselves. So he's speaking to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. He's leaving them, going away. And he tells them, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with what? With his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So how did Paul address it? He talked about it. He warned the people night and day with tears. The same thing we saw in what? Philippians. He was weeping because this was found. This was serious. It had eternal significance. Okay? Paul wasn't like those preachers in my dream, where this woman had died and these preachers were protecting the info. Do you understand? They were protecting the info. And most probably, of course, I believe they were benefiting from, benefiting from that woman's ministry or whatever she was what doing. Maybe we should organize a conference, a meeting. Then she invites them. Then they make people give. Then she gives them what a good love offering. Do you understand? Or you had better be known that you are in good terms with her. Because those days especially, and I think even now, I don't know about those circles, she was a crowd puller. You announce that she's coming to your church. People are coming. Do you understand? So man, you had better be what? Because, man, if people get to realize that, what? You're disagreeing with her. You're finished. And also other ministers, they will isolate you. There's this thing called isolation. Isolation. It works all over in the world, When now, like, let's say other countries can decide to isolate a nation. Russia. Then they isolate you. Then, man, you have to come and say, you guys, now, please, allow me back in the circle, because the trade, why, you understand? Isolate. They use it, you know that, isolation. So now, that preacher, man, who draws crowd, you understand? Then now you want to, you're joking. You're going to get isolated. Then you what? You break, Okay? But Paul, so he warned people, man, night and day about the savage wolves, how they will come, And one of the things he said that they would be doing, they will say, they'll speak perverse things to draw disciples after themselves. It's all about them, Disciples after themselves. That's what they're all interested in, just people to be, you understand, to follow them. Okay, so Paul warned people, because this is found, there are other things which are not major really. Now you can't make a big deal out of a preacher who doesn't believe in giving and what? And receiving. That is not. In fact, that one, most people will like him. You understand? That is not. You're like, okay, that guy is off on that one, the subject, but he's not. He's okay. You can go there, but there are things they say that they are good and better people. But on that subject, it's off. You understand? But on this one, which has eternal consequences, Paul warned people night and day with tears. You understand? Whistleblowing. But other things where you need to cover up, especially if the thing is not, it has just begun and maybe someone is even struggling against it. Let's say things to do with sexual stuff. A preacher, you understand? And he's trying. That one, you first, you understand? Those who are close to him or to her, you know, can go and talk. You understand? But it is not yet a what? And, you know, a thing to what? To whatever the whole church is. You understand? You know, you deal with it, you know, there are those things where you go, you understand? There's a process, okay, but for the other thing which are very serious. No, a church where a guy, the dead body is under the what? The pulpit, man. Gays killed people and they sacrifice and the bodies are there. You get to know it, eh? Definitely, you tell those who you have influence over that. You guys don't, man, don't go to that thing. But they don't have to believe you, eh? But at least you're like, eh? Especially, you pray about it, and if God leads you to share with them, amen, tell them, you guys, that church, but still go to God and, you know, you know, because now, dead bodies, this guy definitely, he's a messenger of darkness, a messenger of Satan, masquerading as a messenger of light. So he's still telling you about Jesus, but man, the beings in the church are devils. You understand? Devils, man. And those devils are affecting your lives in one way or the other, if you're in that church. Okay? Now, like this guy, Kakande. Most people I know, almost everyone I know, people who are born again who I know, even, you know, some are here, they all believe, it's like there's a consensus that Kakande is a false one. What do you think? Is it false or not? What have you ever heard him say that is false? So most people don't really, they can't tell you what the guy is saying that is false. Mark, what has that guy ever said, you heard him say that is false? And the other thing is, if he says something that is false, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's false, because we all don't know the entire Bible, you understand? So today you say you believe something, then 2 years later you, that was wrong. Now I understand better. You understand? So that means that, it doesn't mean that 2 years ago you were false. You understand? So even if you say something false, does not make him a false what? Prophet. However, there's a consensus in this country, in this city, that he's a false what? Prophet. And he is a false prophet. But you can't get him. Maybe the other thing he says, which I've never heard. But man, from what you hear, people have been in that church who have left. You understand? From what you hear, man, the things, when you leave, how things come for you, now you understand, And there's also, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. So, you know, when you hear about the guy's life, man, that fruit, you understand? So there are those things, but you can't get him, but what, the guy, every now and again, he has a thing, Jesus of Nazareth is in town. healing, miracles. There is no preacher in this city, in this Uganda, apparently, who has greater miracles than that guy. Now, how do you call a guy like Paul? The guy said, Jesus of Nazareth is in town. And they got healings. Some of you are fans of Elvis. Elvis hasn't done, concerning miracles, healings. If Elvis has done one, the guy has done 1,000. They show them on TV. And people say they are real. Those things are not concocted. You understand? This guy, man. You're talking about crowds. That guy fills up Nambole. But the truth of the matter is, he's a false one. Okay? You know, So such guy, you know what? You know the thing, man. You have heard things from people who have... There's a recording I have of a guy who was, he's like PA. Man, the guy defected that man. Guy says things. Okay, so anyway, things which are foundational, things which are very, which have, man, if man, you have to blow the whistle. As the Lord leads you. Glory be to God. You know, Okay? Okay? Leadership things, Okay? Now, Paul did it also for what? For a leader who wasn't a false one, Peter the apostle. There was a foundational problem which was going to lead the church astray. Peter was man, he was playing games, and something was major. And Paul is like, No. You know, of course I'm joking, but I'm sure he doesn't say over my dead body. This one I have to address it. This is now Paul, the top apostle at that time. And this junior apostle maybe, he's like, no. No. It ain't passing. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Galatians 2, verse 11 to 14. It says that now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Have you seen it? Peter, this guy, Paul, never even related with Jesus physically. Paul was a guy who came on the scene much later after Jesus had gone to heaven. This Peter guy, they were with Jesus for years. And this newcomer on the block said no. You know? So I can imagine if Peter was an insecure guy, he would have tried to now intimidate him by, who do you think you are? I used to sleep with Jesus at sometimes in the same room. What are you talking about? You understand? Have you ever seen Jesus? Of course, Paul saw Jesus in a vision. But just imagine if by this time he hadn't. So you even never seen the Lord. First, we are friends. We used to eat together. You know? But Paul was like, those are yours. He said, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. All right? Verse 12. For before certain men came from James, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Those who were basically based on the law of Moses, who are saying salvation is by obeying the law of Moses. The things of Jesus, those are yours. Okay? And verse 13 says, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So now Peter is leading guys astray, man, on something foundational, something very serious. Okay? And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, So that even Barnabas, the nice guy, was carried away with their hypocrisy. Okay? But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I say to Peter before them all. Sounds like whistleblowing. I say to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? You understand? This thing was very serious. You couldn't let it pass. You let it pass, people are going to get us, you know, to go astray. They're going to go back into legalism, thinking that salvation is by keeping the law. Yet now we know better, salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus. And this guy, who is the pillar in the church, in the body, is playing around with that issue. You know, putting people's lives in jeopardy. You understand? And Paul was like, no, this one, no. We address it here now. You understand? Because it was foundation. It wasn't whether I believe in tithing or not. Those are, they can pass. Whether I believe in healing or not. Those ones, This thing was serious, man. Okay? We're using salvation, remember, as an example. But there are other serious things which are not supposed to be what? Played around. God shows you this lady preacher is dead spiritually. You get to learn that all those things of snakes were true. Then you have a church member who goes there on Saturday for fellowship. And she's so close to you, or he's so close to you, and you just say, she's going to get in trouble. For me, I know. You've never even hinted, someone is getting destroyed at the preacher's lady for you there. What? Indifferent. Now what kind of shepherd are you? You understand? The woman is not born again. The woman, people know she's in deep witchcraft. Deep witchcraft. Deep witchcraft. I always tell people that thing we should build, it's not a church, it's a shrine. Glory be to God. But there's a crowd there, man. But, and there's some preachers who know. According to my dream, they know. But they're all, why? Because, Bali nengeli jeba funamu. Oh, they are scared. You touch that woman. Hey. This story. I have a friend of mine called Michael Chintu. Michael Chintu I've heard of from some fellowship. Some fellowship in town. But that's not that one. This other guy. So, this guy used to work with a certain pastor. Somewhere. The church is on Entebbe Road. You know it, on Entebbe Road. He was like a youth pastor. So one day, he decided to leave the church and begin his own what? Ministry. This pastor was annoyed. So he began a ministry. He got some place in Obareza, and is somewhere, like a restaurant, which is what, then on Sunday, they would meet there. You understand with people, some makeshift, any effect place, but that's what he could afford. So he tells me that one day, this pastor whom we had left, brought this woman to where this guy's church was, apparently to curse it. And people there, because it's along the road, there are shops, what? People saw this woman came. So you can see this pastor got this woman. And she came to cast the, basically to cast this guy's ministry. So that it never takes, you understand? Yeah. These guys are very deadly, man. There's a preacher who recently I was told by someone I know, that he told someone that these churches which are making noise against me, they do know that I can just point at them and they what? And they whatever. And I know that preacher. He told someone, these guys were what? Making noise over these things. What? They do know that I can just point at what? And and he said other things. Okay? So, foundational things have to be addressed. If you really, especially if you're a leader and you love what? People. You understand? You don't have to tell them in, you can use parable. You know, and you can do whatever you can. Okay? And God, you know, he will bless you for that. Okay? Initially, you might not see the blessings. Might see the total opposite. Say, my God, I thought I was doing your work. Now look what's happening. If you have a church, a ministry right now, you know, people have left now. We can't even pay the rent. Because the people who are giving the money, the rent have gone now. God say, yeah, now, I mean, you don't have to have many more what? Meetings, because the people who are supposed to attend those meetings have left. So just scale down. You understand? Those gates were supposed to be blessed, now I've left. So that meeting, I don't, is no longer necessary. You understand? God can choose them here. What I'm just trying to say is that, the blessings, you might even not see them on the earth. But meanwhile, those, the card of witnesses, they're like, yeah. But you never see them because you don't see visions. But when God is pleased, okay, now, this, we're talking about church ministry, but they are now, of course, most of you are not preachers, are not, you understand, but you can apply these same things in your families, you understand, in your workplaces, in your, whichever group of people you're in, you can apply this, you can get a principle out of this, okay? What things you should stand against openly, you know, where God will be pleased. You know what things you should speak out against. Okay? You understand? Things which are very foundational, which things which are so against the heart of the Lord, or things which God's heart is so against. All right? You know, but there are things of, you understand? The things which are too serious, where God would want, he would want a voice, he would want someone to speak out, to protect something. Okay? You understand? There's a school, you know, kids are being abused, and you know about it, but then you're fearing the MP of the place, or you're fearing the headmistress. Now, you understand? Kids, young kids are in trouble. And you know, and you're Christian. Now that is very serious. You can't shut up about it. If you think, okay, it's going to mess you up and you're so scared, find a way, a wise way of leaking the info. So that somehow you know it will get to some people and then they come and even say, you understand what I mean? Yes. At your workplace, things. You can find a wise way of leaking out this info, which is what? Which is maybe going to destroy an organization. You understand? All right? In your families, in your homes. You know, All right? Something's going to destroy your sister, your wife, but you're like, if I tell mommy, it will, so she can intervene and our sister can be what? Delivered. Find a wolf, you know. It's because it's serious. Your sister, man, is going to get what? Destroyed, but you're there trying, you're scared of your sister because she gives you money at times. You know, or my sister will be like, but you betrayed me. But later you should learn that actually, you what? There's this story. I was reading the history of Uganda. I was reading a book by Pecos Kutesa, how he saw the liberation. Eh? Because he was there from the real start. Eh? The word God was there. Okay, so he was seeing a way, like in the bush, eh? How they what they went through. So he says that Moses uchigongo, eh? At one time, eh? Man thinks that God had become tight in the bush, and Moses chigongo was plotting to run away. The guy even got a passport, but somehow Museveni had told what. Because to keep an eye on chigongo. You can see, this world, people don't trust each other. It is us, Barokore, who become what? We're stupid, and we just overly trust people. Guys in the world don't trust. Now, Moses chigongo, the guy had sacrificed, he was in the bush, but Museveni as a leader, he's like, I know what? Human beings, they can't do anything. So now he told, what? Because to keep an eye. Wherever he goes to address the villagers in Ruwere, go with him, and you come back and you tell me what he told them. So you're here with a guy you think is an assistant, but Kumpi is what? He's keeping an eye on you, man. And it's a book. It's not like Moses, what you're saying. You know you can get yourself in trouble. It's in the book. The book is on sale, public. So, Pecos Kutesa say one day, he found this guy had what? Gotten even a passport. Moses to go in the bush, but he had somehow managed to get a passport and he was going to take off. Okay? So he went and told what? The big man, Museveni, that man, the guy. And I think they even got the what? The passport man. Then they called him and said, now. The guy was taking off, man. Things were tight. This vice chairman, NRA, man. The man of the time when things were, and he was, what? Say, you guys, I'm out of this thing, man. Okay? So anyway, years after they are out of the bush, they have taken over, one day, chigongo tells what? Kutesa, you know? That, do you know that you are, that I could have, that I could have gotten killed when you leaked that info. Eh? Do you know that man, you put my life at risk? Then Pecos said, but if I hadn't done that, would you now be where you are now? if I didn't, no, you are what you are. You're even above me. Eh? You're the vice chairman. Eh? For us, we're down here. Eh? It was here. So if you had defected, you didn't be what? You are what you are because of me. I leaked info. You understand? So don't fear your sister, okay? One day she will thank you. Or she will say, but man, you had put me in trouble with mom. Eh? Say, yeah, but now, if I didn't what? Now, would you be married to this guy? The other guy was going to mess you up. He was a drug dealer. Then she said, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, yeah. Glory to God. Okay? So Paul, you know what? He did it. Eh? But the other thing, again, which he said maybe are not foundational. Eh? Like there's this thing which says in Galatians chapter 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Okay? Someone is overtaken in a trespass. Eh? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Eh? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Eh? So again, like we read, you do it with grace. Eh? The truth is you're in a trespass. Okay? But you restore the person, you know, with truth and grace, in a spirit of with gentleness. All right? That's why it says in Ephesians, you don't have to open there, but if Ephesians 4:15, it says, speaking the truth in love. Okay? Speaking the truth in love. But there are other things where you don't have an audience with these people, and they problem is foundational, very serious. In fact, that person just knowing that you have that info might cause you death. You understand? Eh? So for those ones, save the sheep you can. You know, eh? As you pray from a distance, if something can be done. Like about that lady who preached, if she can come back to her to salvation. Eh? Okay? If she hadn't reached a level whereby she can't come back. There are people, eh? Like you all know, in Hebrews 6, eh? No? If you qualify on a certain thing, if you backslide, you can't come back. You are going to hell. You understand? Eh? You know that scripture, Rachel? Hey, you know it, eh? But for let me read it and then you will remember it. I didn't want to go there, but to read it. Yeah, but Ephesians chapter 6, Hebrews 6 from verse 4. It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him, enlightenment here says they were preached to the gospel, because the word of God is light. Okay, so someone preached to them the gospel. Okay, so they were once enlightened and have tested the heavenly gift. Jesus told Hagin that I am the heavenly gift. So they were enlightened, they had the gospel, they tested the heavenly gifts, means they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Alright? Then he says, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Jesus told Hagin, this means they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess, you know, some, when they're filled, they speak in tongues. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Eh? Then verse 5, and have tested the good word of God. Okay? They have proved that the word of God is true. Eh? Okay? And they have also tested the powers of the age to come. Okay? The power of the age to come means here spiritual gifts. They have tested, they have done these things. Eh? You know, spiritual gifts. So God, here it says, it is impossible for people who have gone through all those stages, eh? It says it is impossible for them, eh? Verse 6, if they fall away, to renew them again and to repentance. Hmm? It is what? Impossible. You understand? Eh? So there are some people who, if you qualify on all those things, eh, and then somehow you turn your back on the Lord, eh, it says it is impossible. You die spiritually and you cannot come back. But for some other people, they can if they just tested the heavenly gift. They got born again, but they remained immature. Then they even married a Muslim and they say, now for me, my God is Allah. Eh? For those ones, it is possible. Eh? One day they can say, oh, man, I was saved in P6. You know? Now, I'm going back to Jesus. Jesus, I've come back to you. You understand? Eh? Those ones, it is possible. But someone tested, filled with the Holy Ghost, tested the good word of God, you know, demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit, eh? That is, tested the power of the age to come. If they fall away, here it says, it is impossible. You understand? It is impossible. Okay? So meaning that even if God told you that they have died, your prayers are useless. The prayers to restore them, they are useless. Okay? But of course, there are preachers who are babies. Eh? They are preachers. They are preachers, but they are babies. They haven't really reached this. Some of the you understand? Eh? So those ones, they can come back. But there are some who can't. Glory be to God. Okay? Yeah. So, but for those, anyway, you've gotten the point. Eh? All right? I've finished. I know this has been, but you've gotten the point, I hope. Eh? All right? But again, use what you've learned, the principle. We take the principle from here and use it in your other areas of life, especially since you're not in church or leadership, ministry things. But this ministry thing, church staff, we have just used it as an example, which you can apply in things in your life. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? You have learned something? You've been blessed? This is, before I forget, that passage we read in Rick Joyner, okay? It sounds like me, isn't it? Going around and, investigating people's lives and messing them up. It sounds like me, but what I want to say that it is not me. Number one, remember, the guy said he became proud, and so he was using it just to mess people up deliberately. Even when someone hasn't done anything wrong. But by the mere fact that God has used you and not him, he has to destroy you. You understand? So that is not me. Okay? And you can see it was his gain. Okay? Now for me, with some of the things I've done and I've said, it has nothing to do with me. Rather, I'm not gaining anything. On the contrary, I'm losing. You understand? People don't like me. People have left church. But it has nothing to do with me. And the other thing is, the issue is foundational. It is not, someone doesn't believe in tithing. They say tithing is auto. This is foundational from the dreams I had. It is people's lives being messed up. And from the dreams other people have had, some people are like, that guy is no longer born again. Right now, it could just be he's just transforming himself into what? A minister of righteousness. That's why someone can ask, but can someone be what when they are preaching good things? We've read the scripture. You understand? Messengers of righteousness, so they come and tell you righteousness. You okay? But you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Do you understand? Now, for me, the way God showed it to me, in dreams, it is foundational. You know? And as a pastor, God expects me to be a good one, shepherd. And there's so many things where I've seen like signs of God, commending me. Do you understand? Okay? So that preacher sounds like me, but actually, the best way to, it is always to look at the motive, So that guy was proud. So he couldn't stand anyone else being used. He was the Holy Spirit. He was the God of what? Of his country. Like everything God, I should be the first one to know what God is going to do. So when you hear there's someone else who got to know something, then you mess them up. Okay? You always want the people to be you. If you know that they are trying to now, to talk about some other preacher who's not your disciple, you mess them up. Because you're like, I'm the one, I'm the Pope in this country. You see, Okay? Yeah. Glory be to God. Amen. You've been blessed. Are you glad you came? I hope I haven't wasted your time. I never want you to come. And you're like, it was wasted time. Amen. Yeah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what you had for us today. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for Lillian, for leading us in worship. Father, may you anoint her, may you help her to become more equipped in that gift. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that all of us who are here, we may walk according to your word. We may always speak the truth in love. May our motives always be pure. In whatever we do for your kingdom, for you, may our motives always be not to glorify ourselves, not to gain anything, but Father, to please or to glorify the name of your Son. May our hearts always be pure, Father. Help us to guard our hearts, for out of it springs the issues of this Christian life. I thank you, Father. I speak a blessing over your children. May they see good days and may they enjoy life. In Jesus' name, amen.